T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brayton Wilson, you know him here from WGR, but now he's mainly on our sister station on the desk at WBEN in the newsroom. So he's been following this from both a sports and a news perspective, I would say. And he knows all the angles from both sides, which is why I wanted to talk to him. So how you doing, man? You doing good?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me in studio today. It's nice to be back on.
Yeah, no problem at all. Good to see you. And
it's great to see you as well.
All right, so tell us what happened yesterday. Just kind of the basic points for people who don't know what a memorandum of understanding is and how it relates to this.
So the memorandum of understanding was the compilation of original agreements that came in place with where the stadium is going to be, just kind of how everything is put together for a stadium deal to get the groundworks laid in. So that was agreed upon in March with the state, the county, the Bills, and the NFL. Four parties essentially all coming together, agreeing to this memorandum of understanding and signing off on it. So the Erie County Legislature yesterday took a vote on to approve that memorandum of understanding so they can move forward with the other intricacies of that understanding, which also includes a community benefits agreement, a project labor agreement. And there are other aspects of that memorandum of understanding that have to be finalized before all the necessary paperwork in the end has to get signed off, and so the construction process can begin. But this was essentially the groundworks of a deal for the stadium, and in terms of the Erie County's perspective on everything, that was approved yesterday.
So was there a timeline they had to do this by? Why was it done yesterday?
Well, they wanted to get it done because they just didn't want to hold off on it anymore. Two weeks ago, the Erie County legislator had voted to up their amount of money that they're going to put on a down payment for the stadium, because they're contributing $250 million of the $1.4 billion budget. New York State's got $600 million going into it, and the Bills and the NFL will contribute to pay the rest of it. And Erie County essentially decided 2 weeks ago, we're going to put more money down on this now, so by the time that it gets towards the end of the deal, we're owing less money and we'll be able to pay it off sooner rather than later. So they went from $75 million of a down payment to $100 million of a down payment. And this time around, they essentially just wanted to get the basic groundworks of this memorandum of understanding approved, so then they could then focus solely on a project labor agreement, on a community benefits agreement, and all the other intricacies of this complete memorandum that will officially be finalized by September 1st. That's at least the goal, is to have all the necessary paperwork done by September 1st, all the I's dotted and the T's crossed by September 1st. So then, you know, at that point, would construction be able to get underway shortly afterwards? It seems like it could, but there's always that timeline that's different, where they could say it starts in September or it might not start until next spring.
I think Ron Rakuya said like shovels in the ground, hole in the ground. You may see like next April, May or something when we talk to him in March. But that September 1st deadline is important, because that's when, if it's not done by then, if they don't have all of these things signed by then, that's when the Bills could actually go and start talking with other communities about the football team.
Yes, exactly. And but another part of that deadline is that if talks are good, like if they're nearing the end of finalizing the paperwork and everything to get this project underway, to get those next steps to start construction underway, but they couldn't get it done by the first, there is a 45-day period after that deadline where they can extend that deadline to allow for more time to be able to hammer out the final details. And then at that point, if it's not done, then the Bills can go talk to other markets or wherever to say, hey, we need a home, essentially. Right. Or you want us to move, woo us and whatever. But I just don't think that's going to happen.
I don't. Nothing's pointing that way. No. Nobody's trying to scare anybody into that. No. We're just giving you the facts of how everything is laid out, what the timeline is, what the legalities are of everything. My question would be, why would we even get to September 1st? Like, why couldn't this get done? Like, I guess there's probably a lot of things that we don't think about generally that have to get done. Because I'm thinking here, like, dude, just go sign everything. Just go do it. Like, why do we have to wait till September 1st?
No, I think the sooner that they can get all this done, the better. It's just they have these allotted times where they have time to talk or about this and then talk about this or get this figured out during this time. So when I asked a couple of the legislators yesterday, Howard Johnson being one of them, he said that especially with the community benefits agreement process, that probably is going to be a couple months, 2 to 3 month process to get everything finalized with just, you know, how is the community going to benefit by, because the taxpayers are going to be paying $250 million worth of Erie County money to go into the stadium. Where of that $250 million is going to come back to the community? How is that money that was spent for the stadium going to come back to the people of the county in certain programs, in parks or whatever it is? And that's all got to be figured out as well. So certainly this process is still a few months out from getting completely finalized and a deal being struck, and they could say, okay, everything's all set in place. We've got a project labor agreement where we've got local contractors, local workers, whether they're union or non-union, working on this project here to keep jobs here, to keep the money here, and all the other aspects that need to go into this project all finalized. And then at that point, it's I don't know when exactly the timeline will come. Again, it's uncertain when shovels will start hitting the ground, but it is expected that, again, I don't think they're going to get to the September 1st deadline. If anything, they'll agree to everything, sign off the paperwork and everything on September 1st. But I would think that they're likely going to get this done sooner rather than later.
You know, since this has happened, we've seen Tennessee obviously now going through their process.
Yeah.
And Buffalo gets referred to about the money. And we see a lot of public money maybe going towards that process. I just read today even that Cleveland, which this is not a very old stadium.
No.
It's only late 90s when they got their team back.
99, 2000.
Cleveland now is even in the process, it appears, of exploring the idea of building something new or at least renovating, right? From what you've learned through this entire process, does it seem like now, because of the public money that is being contributed here, that this is kind of a template to what NFL teams are looking at around the league as far as how the Bills approach this?
Sure. I mean, You know how it is. Every Super Bowl winning team, they win a Super Bowl, and everybody looks at that team, and it's like, we need to copycat that to try and win a Super Bowl. The next year, a team can win the Super Bowl, and every other team will say, we need to copycat this, even though it was different from the year before, to go win the Super Bowl. So with this being the most recent example of a stadium deal and everything, the intricacies getting done, and it was unique for the Bills because a lot of teams in the past, it's a year-by-year thing. Like, I mean, it takes a year, year and a half, 2 years to get a stadium deal done. Essentially, this stadium deal for the Bills got done in, what, an eight-month, nine-month span?
Right.
I mean, it was fairly quickly.
It did not take long. That's right.
It did not.
Now there was everything pre-pandemic with all the surveys and stuff, but they kind of had to reset it.
Right.
And then it, bam, got fast-tracked right after that.
Yeah, no, and I mean, it was unique how they were able to kind of come together, and yeah, there were some bump in the roads. What negotiations don't have bump in the roads? There's going to be plenty of bumps in the roads with all these other intricacies that need to go into this final deal that they're going to have to sign off on by September 1st. But, you know, with other teams looking at, I mean, I think of Kansas City, too. Kansas City's a market that's going
that's
to need
right.
a new stadium very soon. Arrowhead Stadium is unique and it's historic, but at the same point, they're going to need a new home eventually at some point, years down the road. But certainly any team that needs a new home, a new market or whatever, they're going to look to how this was all put together, state, county, team, NFL level, and they'll use the Buffalo model as kind of a groundwork to go in and start negotiations and come put together an MOU of their own. And then I'm guessing the next team that goes and builds a stadium, they're probably going to use the other team that just did it. So,
that's right.
Yeah, I mean, it's very much similar to just how teams win Super Bowls, and every year a team says, we got to win a Super Bowl just like they did.
You know, I'm glad you brought up Kansas City because when this process was happening and they were talking about a new stadium for the Bills and, you know, we're not going to renovate anymore, we're just not going to do it, it's got to be a new stadium, I'd get a lot of people asking me, why can't they just renovate like Kansas City did? And here's the answer. Well, look what's happening in Kansas City now. They did the renovation. Now they need another stadium again. Like, there's only so much you could keep going to that and paying these millions and millions of dollars. And that's why they didn't want to do it here anymore. And it's time, right? It's 50 years, basically, for this stadium. It's going to outlast more than 50 years by the time the new one's built.
Right. And we've heard from, you know, Ron Rakuya. He spoke plenty about the stadium and just how, you know, it's outlived its life. There are parts of the stadium that would you rather throw a bunch of money into fixing a specific area of the stadium, or would you rather put that money, which in essence is not really all that much different from just building a new stadium. I mean, there are some cost differences between the two, but when you look at the long-term picture, you look at it and say, well, would you rather throw, you know, $600 million to fixing the upper deck of the stadium, or put $600 million towards a new Bill Stadium, a new facility that's right across the street in that area, and then you could build around that area knowing that there's long-term viability having the Bills in Orchard Park going forward. So certainly, you know, when I look at how it all came together in the first place, it only made sense that it was going to be in Orchard Park. It only made sense that it was kind of not necessarily on the footprint of Highmark Stadium, but, you know, just – it made much more sense just to build the new stadium the way they did. And I thought they put it all together in the best way possible. And going forward, it's going to be interesting to see. I mean, I'm looking forward to the design of the stadium
the
coming up.
We haven't even seen the renderings.
Yeah. And I mean, when you go to WBEN.com or WGR550.com, there's that picture of that we use a lot of the rendering. That's a rendering from 2019, by the way, from Populous.
And that's a rendering of a rendering.
Right. Yes. It's a rendering of a rendering, probably of a rendering of a rendering, Inception.
Yes. No, but, you're right. That's not the actual stadium.
Right.
It's just something that someone conceptualized as maybe being
exactly
the actual stadium. But let me ask you, so circling back to where we started here, so is there anything can happen at any time, right? There's not a, is there a next date you're looking at, or is there hey, when something happens, something happens?
I think at this point it's more of when something happens, something happens. Like with not only the down payment from Erie County's perspective and this MOU being agreed upon by Erie County legislators yesterday, those were more sort of deadlines because they just wanted to get that process out of the way, get it done, so then they could focus on other things and have the 3 to 4 months coming up here to sort all of that out before everything has to be signed off on at the county level, at the state level, and by the Bills too. So I think at this point, there's probably going to be discussions brought up at sessions, at meetings that the legislators will have. But there's no sort of deadline, at least to my knowledge, that they're looking to get a CBA done by this date, or to have a project labor agreement done by this date, or to have anything else done by a specific date other than just the September 1st deadline when everything has to come together to be done.
And you can always follow his coverage at WBEN.com. Also, on Twitter, you can follow Brayton. He is at Brayton J. Wilson. I cannot let you go without asking you about the NHL playoffs and what you've seen so far, what surprises you, what doesn't surprise you, whether that's a team that's out or still advancing or where we are right now.
Well, Connor McDavid is a monster.
He's incredible.
You know, that goal yesterday, obviously, it's only fitting that it's Connor McDavid that ended up scoring the series-winning goal in overtime to push Edmonton into the Western Conference Final. I mean, Florida's obviously surprising. I thought they would have put up a much better fight than they did against Tampa Bay.
Me too.
Tampa Bay was strung through the ropes against Toronto.
Yeah.
And, you know, Tampa Bay. I picked Tampa Bay to three-peat, by the way. I think they have what it takes to three-peat and become one of the best NHL dynasty teams ever. I think even better than the Chicago Blackhawks were, better than the Kings were recently. So I had them winning. Unfortunately, had Calgary going to the Cup final in the Western Conference. But, you know, Florida's surprising. You know, I'm surprised that Edmonton has just been able to, that team is mostly a team that's carried, let's be honest, they're carried mostly by McDavid and Draisaitl. You know, but they've had the contributions from the lineup on down. Mike Smith has done enough to get them through. I mean, he hasn't been great at all, but Jacob Markstrom wasn't great for Calgary either. So Edmonton moves on. They get the chance to probably play. I don't see how St. Louis comes back. Maybe they win game six to force game seven, right. But I mean, that Colorado team is just so freaking good.
All right,
so
freaking good. And since you're like you have this incredible memory and mind for the NHL draft, what's the names? What are the couple names we should be on the lookout for the Sabres maybe in the NHL draft?
Well, look, I mean, obviously Shane Wright is going to be the number one pick. He's the consensus guy. But really, from pick two to where the Sabres pick at number nine, there are a bunch of different guys that could be selected where they are. You know, names like Connor Geeky come up in mind where the Sabres could be picking. Cutter Gauthier, both, you know, Cutter Gauthier is a guy in the U.S. program that's interesting. Another guy in the U.S. program that's interesting is Frank Nazar. Let's see here.
He's a smaller, right?
A little bit smaller, but he's a decent two-way guy.
Gotcha.
There are a lot of names essentially in the top 10 that are very, very interesting. The one name that has fallen off the board, and unfortunately it's because he was diagnosed with leukemia, if I remember correctly. Ivan Moroshnichenko, he's a Russian forward, but you know, he was a guy that played at the under 18 World Championship last year and really opened a lot of people's eyes. And he's a guy that has been playing some junior level, some pro level, and unfortunately that situation, and obviously with the situation with Russia and Ukraine, certainly muddies the waters a little bit more with some of these prospects. But I mean, there's a lot. I'll throw some names out there that could be available for the Sabres when it comes to the ninth pick, or if they decide to move up. I would be really interested to see if they potentially look to move up in the top 10 of the draft, just because I think there's going to be a lot of names that are differently looked at based on the team. David Juracek, Simon Nemec, Matthew Savoy, Frank Nazar, Joachim Kemmel, Cutter Gauthier, Jonathan Lakaramaki is another name. Connor Geeky. Just a lot of different names here that in the top 10, top 15 could go anywhere. And Josh Schmidt, he's a guy that I talk to quite a bit, and we talk a bit, and he's like, Sabres could go anywhere with the ninth pick.
Yes, they could. Yeah, for sure. And by the way, Brayton's having a spelling test on all these names for everybody listening, by the way, if you want to do that. Hey, thank you very much I got to get to a break, but I appreciate your breakdown of everything that's going on. WBEN.com is where everybody can find you. Glad you're doing well. Love seeing you when I'm around here. Hope you have a great Memorial Day weekend.
You as well. Thank you, Sal.
All right, that is Brayton Wilson. We'll come back on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.